This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, a new episode every Tuesday. And this is a special edition of our show. Now, our normal Hollywood Outsider podcast will land every Tuesday, talking about the latest movie and TV news, reviews, a topic on ours or our listeners' minds, as well as everything else we yammer about. You know how the show goes. But this is a special episode. In lieu of the holiday, since we're all taking the week off, what we decided to do is that there's a new pilot that we're doing, and it's going to be a Hollywood Outsider show, but it's not the same Hollywood Outsider show. It's a little different. It's called Remake This Movie Right. Now, it's going to be on its own feed. It's not going to be on the Hollywood Outsider feed, so you're not going to hear it here every couple weeks. It's going to be just for this episode, just to kind of introduce you to it. Hopefully encourage you to hop over to iTunes and subscribe, because you got to, it's its own feed. Hop over to Stitcher if that's what you listen on. If you have a podcast catcher, like Android of some sort, subscribe via that. All the links are in the show notes here. Or if you go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, that's thehollywoodoutsider.com, all the information is there as well. Remake This Movie Right is an idea I've had for months. I've been working on fine-tuning, and we finally got the thing put together. It'll be a bi-weekly show, which means every 2 weeks, and it's going to take a movie that's well-known, that's a classic to some people, that's currently being remade. It has to be already being remade in some form. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at what works from the original, what doesn't work from the original, give you a few trivia tidbits about the original. And then, unlike a lot of shows where they talk about old movies and they just pick them apart or go through it scene by scene, that's all we're doing on the old one. From that point forward, we're remaking the movie right. Not necessarily good, but we're going to remake it in our version, you know, wherever our version goes. So the first movie that we do is Weird Science, like you're going to hear shortly, and we kind of decide what we're going to do with it. How are we going to change the plot, the characters, the scenario, practical effects, special, you know, pretty much everything is encompassed in this. The one thing about that could throw a wrench into the whole program is that each host gets a cut, which means at any point during the show, if they don't like something that somebody else is saying, they just yell cut. We have to drop that idea and use whatever that host wants to do. They can only use it once, so they have to hold on to it. And you'll see Brian uses it to his own advantage. I would say our disadvantage, but he says advantage throughout the show, so definitely check that out. And then at the very end, we put all that together for a final pitch, which is essentially everything we just talked about summarized into one movie trailer. Voiced by Wayne Henderson, who's a friend of the show, does a great job putting a trailer together so that basically we have a movie trailer of our fake movie. And that's how we end our show. Now, like I said, this is a new show. It's going to happen every other week, but it won't be on the Hollywood Outsider normal feed. You'll actually have to subscribe to it. I hope everybody listening, you know, if you're a fan of the Ho, pretty much going to be the same kind of humor. I mean, it's meant to be fun. It's not meant to be deadly serious, though we're going to, as we go on, we will probably try to actually craft a better movie than we might do the first time, but I hope you guys like it. I also want to give a little shout out to several friends that were beta listeners of the show and kind of helped me refine it and get it to where it needed to be. We've already got two episodes in the can. For the next ones, at least now we kind of know what direction we want to go. We have a little bit better idea. But any thoughts you have, please send it to us. Thanks to all of you guys that already did that for me. I really appreciate it. Made a huge difference. It really did. And also, if you happen to be an iTunes subscriber, reviews on iTunes make or break a brand new show. So if you've got 30 seconds and you can hop over there and just give Remake This Movie Right a review, 5 stars is great, but if you think it deserves 4, 3, whatever you feel is necessary, I mean, I understand. 5. But I really do appreciate it. It really does help get a show going, especially in this cluttered market. I think it's an original idea. I hope it is. We'll find out. But I hope, if you got a time, please do. Or if you listen to Stitcher, make sure you give it a thumbs up. Thank you. And if you like what you hear, you'll hear all the details as to where to go, but the show is on Twitter. Just started a Twitter at Remake Right. There's an email address, remakethismovieright@gmail.com. The hosts may vary. It's going to be a little open. It's not just the standard 4 Hollywood Outsider hosts. It's kind of its own thing. So it could vary. We're hoping to have a few guests from other shows on as the show goes. It's a new product. It's basically part of the Hollywood Outsider quote unquote network. It's one of our shows, but it's not the Hollywood Outsider proper. You know what I mean? Nothing's changing with this show. This show stays the same forever. It's, I mean, we might tweak it as it goes to make it better and bigger and crazier, but it's always the same show. This is something different, and I really hope you guys like it. Put a lot of effort into it. Brian and Scott join me for the first episode of Weird Science. Really appreciate their help, as always. Hope you guys love it. We can move on, I think. I think I've talked enough. I'm sure everybody here is in agreement. So remember, you can always go to thehollywoodoutsider.com for all of this stuff. Remake This Movie Right. The website is actually at thehollywoodoutsider.com, too, so you can find that there. Without further ado, let's just get to the show. I really hope you guys love it. Don't forget to subscribe, if you like it, to its own feed. Look it up. Remake This Movie Right. iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast catcher. It's there. Now take a listen to our pilot episode of Remake This Movie Right. Hello, my fellow cinematic architects, and welcome to Remake This Movie Right. As a member of the Hollywood Outsider Network, all episodes of this show and the Hollywood Outsider proper can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, our RSS feed, or thehollywoodoutsider.com. What is Remake This Movie Right? This is really our pilot episode, so we need to explain exactly what the heck the show is. Well, first up, here's what it's not. We're not going to rehash a movie you've already seen for an hour. There are plenty of other podcasts out there that are doing it much better than we ever could. So this show instead is about the remakes of those movies. Everything is getting a remake these days, and I mean everything. So we thought, why not take one of those original movies that is actually in the process of getting remade, figure out a way to explain what we like, what clicks, what doesn't, and then determine exactly how Hollywood should remake this movie. So instead of letting them continue to ruin our childhoods, we are going to do the work for them. That's right. By the end of this episode, every episode, we will have the remake ready to roll for Hollywood execs, and we are going to pitch it to all of you first. Who should play the lead? Should a movie like Waterworld shake things up and then take place on land? Should they use Legos instead of CGI? There are no limits to this. We are here to tell Hollywood how to make this movie right. Now, my name is Aaron Peterson, and I'll be your host. Joining me for this edition are two guys from our fellow podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, Brian Williams.
Yay! I'm so excited about this.
And Scott Clark.
If you have Waterworld on land, isn't that just World?
Hey, it's a remake. You got to do what you got to do to make it different, unique, creative.
No, we put it in the air, so if it's in the clouds and it's rain clouds, there's water there too.
So it's water vapor world?
Ooh.
No, it's just water. It's still water.
It is technically still water. I like it.
Still water.
You could put it on the ice planet of Hoth, and it would still be Waterworld, technically.
Oh, now you're merging. I don't know. Can Disney get involved in this? Because Star Wars, I don't know how that factors in. Well, for this episode of Remake This Movie Right, we are remaking the 1980s John Hughes teen wish fulfillment flick, Weird Science. And I mean every kid that was a teen in the 80s, this was kind of their dream. The movie revolved around two high school nerds who attempt to create the perfect woman, and she turns out to be more than that. Starred Kelly LeBrock, Anthony Michael Hall. Definitely, would you guys consider it a classic? I'd say classic. Everybody knows this movie.
You just say Weird Science, and you know people usually start rambling off quotes, usually from Chet.
usually from Chet.
It's actually not a classic for me, but I actually watched this film for the first time this year. Rewatched it again for this episode, so I didn't grow up with it, so I've got a completely different take on it, but so. Classic for those that grew up with it, more than likely, yes. For me, not so much.
Mm. Well, we're going to talk about what you thought after you watched it here in a minute, but how about a few little facts about the original, okay? Weird Science only made $23.8 million domestically, made $38 million worldwide, but it was a massive hit on cable and sold tons of those gigantic videotapes, those VHS tapes.
And probably posters, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, Kelly LeBrock sells posters in the 80s, yeah. Although,
not now.
Oh, no. And there's a couple moments because we just rewatched it for this podcast. She kind of looked like Tim Curry from Rocky Horror.
When she had the hair?
When she had the hair, yeah. And she's talking
Which is kind of funny because actually, you know, Bill Paxton reminded me in a few times where he smiles really big and goofy. He kind of reminded me of Slimer from Ghostbusters.
That's a good point, too. I wonder if there was a connection.
Yeah.
Did he get his teeth fixed? Because his teeth don't look like it now.
Well, neither does Robert Downey Jr.'s.
That's true. So. I noticed that too. He must have got capped or something. A couple other Caps, ones.
Not capped.
Whatever. Whatever. It's not a dentist podcast, all right? The movie's titled after the anthology comic book series based in the 1950s by the legendary William M. Gaines and his company EC Comics. The plot of the film is loosely based on a story made of the future from the fifth issue. So that's a cool little tidbit I didn't know.
Now, didn't they turn it into a TV show in the 90s?
They did. Yeah, it was actually kind of funny. Did you ever watch it?
I did not. I think that was where I was more familiar with it. I remember seeing commercials for it as a kid. I never even realized it was a movie until later on.
Well, we're not remaking the TV show, that's for sure. The Shermer High School is also the same high school as The Breakfast Club. John Hughes set several of his films in Shermer. How many knew that? Raise your voices.
Yeah, this is one of those movies I didn't even realize was a John Hughes film.
Get out, really?
I mean, you say John Hughes, and there's like a kind of maybe three movies that I just instantly go to and kind of forget about some of the others. And this isn't really one that I've always associated with him. So that was kind of a neat surprise. And you know, when you see that at the beginning and you kind of watch it through those glasses and you can see the John Hughes stuff in there. So the Hughesian.
Here's a little fun fact for Scott that Ian Mitchell Smith, who played Wyatt, actually retired from acting to become a teacher.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, he gave up fortune and fame and gorgeous women throwing themselves at his lap to be a teacher.
That's what I did.
We figured.
Well, yeah, but those that were thrown, never mind. I'll keep those jokes to myself.
A couple other quick fun trivia tidbits. Kelly LeBrock's character's name was inspired by Apple Computer's first GUI computer, the Apple Lisa. Didn't know that. Anthony Michael Hall passed on European vacation to do this movie. It's a good call, I think. He also, just like his character from Breakfast Club, has an imaginary girlfriend in Canada in this movie. I don't know if anybody else noticed that.
I got a question. I noticed something very early on. You mentioned that Robert Downey Jr. is in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And pure question, I honestly don't know. In the credits, when they list him, they don't list him as Robert Downey Jr. They list him as Robert Downey. Is there some history I'm not familiar with?
Well, his dad is a senior, and I think he just started using it at some point.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. Made him sound more sophisticated, maybe, or separated himself from his dad. Maybe they had a falling out.
Yeah, his dad's a judge. He finally made up with him, and he was proud of it.
I think that's actually a movie that he did.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, here's how we break this down, okay? We've got three parts to our podcast. The original, which is where we talk about the original movie, and it's not in detail. We're not going to go through every scene like a lot of podcasts do. We're just looking at what works, like what worked in the original movie that we need to bring to our remake, what doesn't work, like it doesn't hold up, it was dumb to begin with, it's too dated, whatever the case is. And that's part of the original. And also, we're kind of going to... How many nostalgic moments should we put in the remake? Like, how many of those little nods to the original need to be in a remake? That's part of the original. Second part is the remake. And that is where we're all going to pitch whatever crazy ideas we can come up with for this remake. We want this movie to appeal to a modern audience, and it might just be great, might be dumb. We don't know. We won't know until we're done. And when we're done is when we get to the final pitch. And that's when we take whatever the ideas were that we came up with that we all agreed on, and we sell it to you, the audience. And if you don't agree, you can email us your pitches, but this is going to be the pitch that we think Hollywood should go with for whatever reason. There's one caveat. And Brian, Scott, you're well-versed on what the cut is, right?
Yes.
Okay, now let me explain it to you guys listening. Each one of us gets one cut. We get to yell cut one time throughout this episode up until that final pitch. And that means whatever idea one of the other hosts have or two of the other hosts have, if we just don't agree with it, like I was telling them before the show, like say someone demands Oingo Boingo song, Weird Science has to be in the remake. And one of our hosts hate that idea because they don't like Danny Elfman because they hate America and they hate fun. At that point, all they have to do is yell the word cut, and we officially have to drop that idea. Weird Science, the song, is officially out, and they can replace it with whatever thing they want. they say, like I was telling them, if they want Danger Zone in there, Danger Zone goes in there. And we get Danger Zone as the theme song of Weird Science because that's their idea and we have to go with it. So it's kind of like.
And all hell breaks loose.
Exactly. That's the plan. I mean, that's basically a nice little curveball to see how crazy we can make the movie. Now, once that happens, we have to follow suit. We still have to make the movie make sense. So it could go nowhere. It could just be a standard movie with a crazy theme song, or it could lead somewhere else. Maybe the entire movie is basically a Tom Cruise worship fest. Who knows? But right now, let's get into the actual original. What works for you still? Like, what makes this a movie worth remaking? Scott, you can start get the ball rolling. What's cool about it? What story points and scenes have to be in the remake? Like, this is stuff you loved.
Well, I mean, first off, the concept itself just works. I mean, I think this is obviously much earlier than current movies in that we've always got this generation of, I don't want to say sex-based movies, but movies based on kids that want to get laid and have these fantasies about doing things with chicks, not even sexually, just being with girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is not going to die because there's always going to be prepubescent kids that are thinking about that kind of thing.
Yeah, right now. As they listen, they're like, I'm thinking about it right now.
I mean, just the idea, two losers trying to figure out a way to create a beautiful woman who wants nothing more than to give them a good time is great. And that's what really worked for me with Lisa's character is she wanted actually more than they even wanted at some points. She just wanted to party and have a good time and give them and show them what life is all about. And I really appreciated that.
At the 14-year-old, 15-year-old level.
Right.
Basically. Was anybody creeped out when she starts making out with Wyatt, by the way?
Yeah, and that was one of the comments I was going to make it, try to figure that in somewhere here. I guess this is as good a time as any, but that's one of the things that nowadays, I don't know if that's, if you can get away with it.
Somebody's going to file a petition or go online and say, whoa.
I mean, well, it's once a month.
Oh, he was like 14 or 15 when they filmed it.
Oh, he really was. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it just, it's one of those things to where, you know, nowadays it seems like once a month there's some, I don't know, there's some lady taking advantage of a, you know, teen, and I say that jokingly, but I mean, it happens all the time. It's, you know, there's some lady that's taking advantage sexually of some teenage boy, and I guess vice versa. You know, it's okay that this lady is in the movie. She's 24,
I think they said.
23, 24, whatever the number is, it's still older than 18. And they are, you know, 15 years old, give or take. So that's kind of a bad thing, right?
Not to me.
I mean,
if I was 14 or 15, this would be just fine. I'm good with it.
Oh, so
it's our movie. So I'm with Scott. I say that's got to stay because that's a whole.
Oh, I'm not saying cut. I'm just saying it's, you just kind of, there's a few things in this movie I don't know if you could quite get away with nowadays. That might be on that list, but it works for the movie, or especially at the time. It definitely worked at the time. So
what about you, Brian? What has to be in this?
The weird, like almost supernatural events, jokes, the guy that ends up inside the TV, the room that turns blue, room in a house that just starts rotating around.
The stuff that just makes no sense whatsoever.
None at all.
It starts snowing in Chet's room just randomly.
Right. Which is, you know, I'll probably get a little deeper into it, you know, a little bit down the road, but it was just weird that this computer stuff, by hacking into the government, basically, they're creating all the, you know, the sky to turn red, you know, a woman to be sucked off the floor through the chimney up and out into the little pond out in the yard, you know, just, which was funny and everything, but it was just weird that electronic technology, computers, all that stuff caused all these supernatural events, I guess. But
yeah, but I think that in today's age, that kind of random humor works a lot better than it even did back then. Have you seen a Skittles commercial lately? Or an Old Spice commercial?
I mean, which one? Well, I've seen the Sweetness commercial. That's really the only commercial I've seen.
That's Dr. Pepper.
Oh, sorry. No, I haven't seen the Skittles one. Sorry.
Yeah, but I think you're talking about like the the guys in the town that want to arm wrestle for Skittles or something. And
right.
everybody in town has got like the one giant arm or something.
The usual way.
Random humor is like huge with even like middle school and high school kids. They just think it's hilarious. And that's what this remake would be geared towards is the kids that were that age when this movie came out.
Speaking of the random humor, how about the candy bar scene? Because that is, by today's standards, pretty racist. Pretty racist. And here,
oh, yeah.
I actually got a sample just to kind of remind you guys of what I'm talking about. Here's Anthony Michael Hall. Listen to this.
Man, you know, now here's the capper. You know what the bitch did to me?
Lay it on.
Check this shit out. Listen to what she did to me.
She need you in the nuts. I'm cold and f***ing in front of everybody.
No. She did what?
Bitch need your nuts?
Bitch need my nuts, man. I'm not playing with y'all either, man.
In the family jewel?
In the family jewel, man.
Worst pain there is.
Broke my heart in two.
You broke more than your heart.
Yeah, you don't like me, baby.
You can forget that other one. You got this fine jewel sitting right over here by you.
There's like 10 things in that one scene you couldn't do today.
But that is seriously my favorite scene in the entire movie.
Oh, it's so good.
It's actually one of those things you can just throw out any one of those quotes and somebody's going to kind of just play off of that.
So does that scene have to stay in?
I actually thought that wouldn't work anymore, but I want it there.
I think
you can get away with the majority of that scene.
I mean, look at the stuff that Seth MacFarlane gets away with.
Yeah, that's cartoon. Well, I guess in Ted.
No, because, Ted and how Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay.
There's racy stuff in that.
All right, so we got those. Those have to be there. The candy bar scene's got to be there. Just maybe a little less racy,
maybe less
racist.
Well, not so much racist. At, I mean, you can't be dropping the F bomb.
Yeah,
I mean,
that word anymore. Yeah.
Here's what I think: it actually plays pretty well, though. I think you could get away with it because you know the scene starts out. He's so nerdy, and he's actually talking about being like grounded by his parents, and talking to these guys that are like in their 50s and 60s, and saying, "How do you get along with your parents?" And they're laughing at him and kind of making fun of him. And then all of a sudden, after over drinks and stuff, they've just grown to like him and accept him. And he just, whatever, he just breaks out in an accent for whatever reason. And he's like Mr. Cool. And they're all engrossed in his, you know, in his story. I think it works. I think it's just kind of like him gaining a little bit of self-confidence as the movie goes along.
That performance was hilarious to me, too, because he seriously sounded.
Yeah,
he was
did.
14.
Yeah. 14, 15.
I did not know that. Yeah. I have even more mad respect for him now after that because he was.
Give me the keys! Give me the keys!
And Daddy knew what the bitch did. Ah, funny. I was watching by myself and laughing at what I was seeing.
The only other thing I could think of was Chet. Chet's got to be in this movie. Got to have
Absolutely.
Chet.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, because I was actually at work before I went to watch this, and I said, I'm going to go home. I got to watch this movie for a podcast. You guys ever seen Weird Science? And the first thing this guy said to me is, oh, man, I love Chet in that movie. First thing.
Oh, you got to have Chet. Maybe Bill Paxton could still do it. He's just a really old brother. Really old. Really old. Anything else has to be in the remake before we move on.
I don't think it has to be in there, but I think it would be cool considering he's how high profile of an actor he is now to see just like a cameo of Robert Downey Jr.
I like somewhere. That. Yeah, somewhere, just somewhere he has to be in there.
And as maybe, the same character even.
How about if you can't get him to do it, maybe he's just too busy, maybe he's willing to kind of offer up something. Maybe if he's not in it, but in their room, since they're like dorks or whatever, there's an Iron Man poster.
Oh, well, there you go.
Ooh, Brian, you're good at this. All right.
Yeah. I like
so
it.
So it's subtle, but
subtle
for those
but
of us that
right in your face.
It's a little bit of both.
Or how about we get a mold of those teeth? How about we get that? Because those things
that
those
might be a little bit more obscure.
Those are some sexy choppers, man. All right. The more interesting part, what no longer works? Like this needs to go. To the wayside. Has to go. I'll throw you. Well, here's my first one. I got one. So you don't have to. You guys seem like you're contemplating still. they have to have sex.
That I was going to say that.
You're just too afraid to say it? Was it too controversial?
No. I had that down. I had that down later. I that's what I wanted to happen this whole movie. I really did.
If,
I wanted
if
to be
you're
like
gonna
this.
Have the dream. Well, have why, the dream.
If Wyatt wouldn't have passed out on her, she would have had sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it felt like
have anyway.
It was like they went there. Here's kind of, but we're a little too safe. We can't do it because she's older. I say if two teenage boys, I don't care if they're geeks, whatever they are, they make a girl molded to their specifications, and it's basically, and I'm sorry, ladies, but it's true. Essentially, she's a sex doll, is what mm-hmm. they try to create. And you don't, as soon as she's like, hey, let's go, and you're like, I don't know, I'm too nice. No.
You can't take your shoes off in the shower?
I could actually understand that. It kind of went with their characters. But later on, after he'd had a little alcohol, he loosened them.
That makes no – I mean, I understand. I get it for the scene, but putting myself in that position, I just can't. It just does not compute.
Well, 15-year-old Brian's probably a lot different than 15-year-old Gary and Wyatt.
I didn't have a whole lot more swag than those guys did.
Wow.
But still,
this just got sad.
I would have been pantsless. I'm just saying.
With your best friend standing right next to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Eiffel Tower.
All right. So we all agree.
It might have been a race. I mean, I would have been like, something's going to happen. I'm just going to make sure I'm first.
Might have been a race. Okay, so they got to have sex. We all agree on that. The score's got to go. Like, new score completely. Because that score, outside of the Oingo Boingo song, is awful. And by today's standards.
Well, it's a very 80s sounding. You can't get away with that unless you're making, like, The Guest or something.
Or something retro, which is right. What I'd be worried about. So
I don't think this would be. You got to keep that song. Well, do you want them to remake the song or use the exact same song?
I want Oingo Boingo. I want the same song. You can modernize it if you want, but I want Danny Elfman to make it. I would actually like the score to be composed by Danny Elfman.
But. Well, we've got to have a, I don't know, maybe just stop all buttons. Way too many people have buttons. I felt like I was at TGI Fridays watching this movie. Do you notice the number of people wearing buttons? I mean, I know there was a time where they were popular and, you know, and you know, you could buy them just about anywhere, especially Spencer's, you know, but.
I don't remember the button ratio, no.
Oh, gosh. Look at
this. I believe it's called Flair, Brian.
Yes, it's Flair, Brian.
Okay, well, we need to tone down the Flair. Actually, let's just get rid of the Flair.
37 right. pieces of Flair.
Just skim through a few scenes and look at, and it doesn't matter if it's the cool kids or the dorky kids. Everybody's got buttons. Buttons. Too many.
I could do without the scene at the end with the Terminator biker gang that just busts into the house.
Yeah, the crazy biker Indians, like they offend 12 different kinds of people at once. I mean, kudos to them, but
one had half a robot face. I just didn't understand what that meant.
I think it was everything that was popular in the 80s all at once is basically what it was.
They're wasn't too long after Road Warrior, right? I mean, Terminator. Wasn't that what they were playing on?
I think it was probably after Terminator is what I was guessing. Because it was right after Terminator. It was like the year after Terminator that the first one.
Really, because the dude looked just like the guy from Road Warrior. Okay. The bad guy from Road Warrior.
That one, too. I'm talking about the metal face guy. I think you're talking about Michael Berryman, right? Like the
guy. Not the bald-headed guy. No. Not the guy from, like, The Hills Have Eyes, but the leader of the gang. The guy with the mohawk.
Okay. See, I was talking about metal face guy. So, all right. So, there's probably some Road Warrior, a little bit of Terminator, a little bit of all that. You want that all gone, Scott?
I'm okay with random things in the movie, like we talked about with whatever's going on with the computer and the goofy stuff happening. But the biker gang, in theory, were already there before all this computer stuff went down. So why is there this biker gang just randomly coming in for no reason that are, like you said, Native Americans? And there's just no reason for them to be there other than we got to make this scene weird.
I'm with Scott. Well, I say we come up with a different antagonist when we get there.
I would agree with you. I'm down with that. We'll keep the bikers out of it. But, I mean, they weren't just randomly popping in there. She created them to give Wyatt and Gary, what do you call it, like some sort of way to show, like, hey, to prove their manhood, so to speak, mm-hmm. to gain that self-confidence and
to prove their maturity
up.
And their, yeah, Chivalry.
Right. You know, she did that. I mean, they were created to, you know, come in there and disrupt things. And then they finally take a stand and say, all right, enough's enough. I mean, so they, it wasn't just like, okay, you know, what on earth are these guys just doing here? She actually says, you know, this is what they need. They need something to stand up for. So
do geeks, here's one that I had a question on this. Do geeks still get picked on? I don't go to high school. I have no idea, but are they still really out? I mean, you got Big Bang Theory and all these nerds are making millions all over the place. Are they really, really still picked on, or do we go with a different demographic?
I would say not as much, but it's a different world too, because geeks are the ones that were geeks in college or in high school are the ones making money now.
So yeah, but I think there's still you still hear about people getting bullied and okay. and stuff. I still think there is a certain amount of geek, even though it is still fairly cool to be, you know, geeky. I still think that, you know, if you're, I don't know, a 102-pound junior in high school and you know, there's still some big meathead who just feels better about himself for picking on somebody, I still think it happens. You know, and it doesn't even have to be like some jock. It's just some a-hole who maybe is whatever, had a bad upbringing or something. I don't know. Whatever the backstory is, doesn't matter. Shouldn't be done. But I still think it goes on, even okay. though it is probably not as, I don't know, obvious as it was back in our day.
All right. Any other things that you wish would be gone from the remake?
I got one more, and it's okay. more of a change than totally getting rid of something. I know the movie's called Weird Science, mm-hmm. but can we at least have some science that makes sense?
You mean get rid of computer science.
I mean, at one point they said, your computer sucks and needs more power, so let's connect it to the internet, because that's going to help our hardware problem. Or let's scan a picture of Albert Einstein.
Because that makes your computer smarter. do we have the computer at all, or do we make this whole thing supernatural? Like maybe witches. Wyatt and Gary are witches in the backyard making their own.
Hey, that would make more sense with all the crazy stuff that happened. If you know, hey, they take some Wiccan lessons at the community center or something, and find a little book that gives them a little bit more powers than they thought, or something.
Then you got to call it Weird Seance.
You could. I don't know. Well, we'll get there. I like where Brian's going, though. I like this. A little seance. Weird seance.
Weird seance. I like Weird that. Wiccan.
Oh, all right. Any other ones you wish were out? Okay. Let's go to, should it even be remade for today's audience? It's just a real quick question. Each of you, should this movie be remade for today's audiences, or should this movie, the original movie, be in don't touch status, which means that you should be left alone? Scott?
I'm kind of split on this one, because it's not in the don't touch status for me, because I didn't grow up with it. I've only experienced it recently, so I don't have this mad love for it that you guys do. I think it has some moments. I think the core story would still work for any younger audience. There's just some way goofy stuff that it cracks me up that if that movie came out today, you would think it was dumber than hell. you really would. I mean, there's no way. There's no way.
All right, Brian.
So, I think you can totally get away with revamping this. I mean, we're doing Vacation. That's way more sacred to me than Weird Science. I mean, mm-hmm. It does have a special place in my heart. It does. But it's still, I mean, I haven't probably even watched this movie in 10 or 15 years until recently. So, you know, it's, I could say, yeah, it's not that sacred to me to where it could, maybe use some updating, some tweaks.
Okay. I think it could be modernized. It'd be really hard to do some of the humor because seriously, there's a lot of racist, racial,
homophobic,
offensive, sexist, lots of sexist. I mean, the whole movie is basically a sexist nightmare, but I think they play off it pretty smart to some degree. So it doesn't come across as, you know, blatant. So definitely update it.
Doesn't Chet like smack a girl in the forehead with a shotgun at some point too?
He's also the guy that's turned into a big pile of goo or big lard or yeah. Jabba the Hutt, Chet the Hutt, whatever. So I think he gets his comeuppance. I think they're saying, yeah, it's wrong to be so rude, Chet. It's just wrong. So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being a classic, how many nostalgic moments does this remake need? As in, how many nods to the original does the remake need?
You could spread out, I would say 7.
Okay.
Throughout the course of, say, an hour and a half to hour, 45 minutes. I think so.
Scott?
I was going to say 4.
I go with, I'm with Scott. I'm actually with 4. So the average is 5. We need 5 nostalgic moments in our remake. So we got 5 nods. Don't really care what they are, but if you guys have any specific ones, feel free to throw them in when we talk about our remake, which we're doing right now. The remake. This is the movie. This is what you guys have been listening to us babble for 25 or 30 minutes to get to. The movie that we're going to make, that Hollywood should make, is what we're talking about now, and nobody ever listens to us, but they should, because we know what we're talking about. So we're acting as writers, producers, directors. You know, we're doing the whole kit and caboodle here. Let's start with the actors, the characters. My opinion, Wyatt, Gary, Lisa, and Chet are the main guys, right?
I agree.
The main characters. Anybody disagree? Mm-hmm. Want to add anybody? I have to be in here?
No.
Okay.
We're good.
Wyatt. Let's agree on a Wyatt. Who thinks they've got the best cast for Wyatt? That's Ian Mitchell Smith.
I'll say Michael B. Jordan.
Hmm.
Something a little, now, and this is just more of a roll of the dice. I've not seen him be funny that I can remember. I just think he's just one of those guys I like. If he's landed the lead of the hothead Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four movie, then I kind of feel like he's probably got some sarcasm, some kind of a humorous side to him. So
he's the go-to guy for black guys replacing white characters. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's not a whole lot of them to pick from.
I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. Wyatt was kind of the straight man, honestly. So he wouldn't have to be as goofy. Gary was the loose cannon. Do you have a better idea, Scott?
I came up with Michael Angarano. You might not be familiar with him, but he was in. Remember the movie Almost Famous?
Yes.
He played the younger version of the main character, like when he was a kid. More recently, he was in a movie called The Brass Teapot. He played the lead in that. To me, he just has that persona of Wyatt from the film. He kind of looks like him a little bit. He kind of has that. He could be funny, but he's not overly funny like you need a Gary to be. Do you know who I'm talking about yet?
I do. I don't know enough of him recently to be sold on him, I guess. So
yeah, he's a little more obscure. I just like his look and the way he carries himself for a Wyatt more than anything else.
I don't have anybody better. So I mean, I guess I'm the deciding factor.
Do you remember Red State?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Red State too.
Yeah,
Travis. His name was Travis in Red State. He was
okay.
Well. So
I like Michael B. Jordan. How about him? For
what about you?
I didn't have anybody better. I was going with Dylan O'Brien, who was in The Maze Runner, just because he reminded me of Wyatt a little bit. That's really all I had. Are we going with Dylan? Are we going with Michael B. Jordan? I'm fine with that. How about Gary? Gary.
Go ahead.
Oh, I had Will Poulter.
Oh, the kid from We're the Millers?
We're the Millers. Will Poulter. That's who I had.
I like that. Pick. I'm good with that one.
Okay. Well, Will Poulter. Sweet.
That was quick.
I didn't know it was going to be that easy. Lisa, who's going to be our sex pot? Who's got it?
Mine's
Kate Upton. Okay. We got one vote for Kate.
Okay. I'm going a little bit older, but she's so gorgeous. She could still play young 20s, at least to mid 20s.
Okay.
Kate Beckinsale. She's got the voice. She's got the sex appeal.
She's old, man. She's like, she'd be grandma sex pot, right? She's been around a while.
All right. Rachel Taylor. She's the blonde Australian actress. She's got to have a different accent than American.
That's a rule. We're making that a rule.
That was one of my main criteria. Other than being hot, Rachel Taylor was. She was the replacement chick in the Transformers.
Oh, okay. Movie. Okay. All right. Okay. My option was Brooklyn Decker.
Okay, you win.
Sweet. Scott, you like Brooklyn Decker?
Battleship?
Well, she was in Battleship, yes. Yep.
I'll take it.
Does she have an accent?
No, but she makes up for it elsewhere.
All right. Well, that's two.
I've got hard set rules, but they are flexible. All right.
Now, basically, the deciding factor is two hosts agree on anything, that's the deciding factor, because otherwise we'd be here all day just debating on what to cast. Now, Chet, who do we each have for Chet? Scott, who do you have for Chet?
Army Hammer.
Ooh.
Wow.
I like that, actually. Brian?
Wow. I want to hear who you have.
I picked Alfie Allen. Plays Theon Greyjoy on Game of Thrones. Just because he's a despicable human being, and I'm okay with him being turned into a giant.
I just want to carry over to everything else he does.
Yeah, I think at this point he's typecast. So let's just stick him where he belongs.
Well, wasn't he also in John Wick? He played a little bit more of a a-hole in that
movie. He was a good a-hole in that one. But I'm really liking Armie Hammer right now. I'm leaning towards Scott, so you better have somebody cooler.
Look, I'm going with a guy that's... the guys that we've picked are, I guess they could be high school. They're probably looking at more college age guys. Somebody a little bit older. I'm going Danny McBride. He's just the king of assholes.
He's like 60.
What? He's not.
Why does everybody
60? He can be. And plus, that's all he does is play an asshole. You don't want to like Chet, but yet, I mean, basically all he's got to do is his Eastbound and Down role, and he's memorable.
Well, you know I can't stand him, so I'm definitely...
I know you can't.
I'm on Armie Hammer side.
He's 38, by the way.
That's really old for 15-year-old's brother. I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe in my world, maybe whenever we get down to the, switching everything up and all this other stuff where we're doing here, maybe my guys are a little bit older than 15.
Maybe. But I'm with Armie Hammer, so...
Wow, that cut Danny McBride. Bam.
Oh, man, come on.
You serious?
God.
Oh, tell me you're joking.
No, his cut. He's got to use it wherever he wants. Apparently, Chet's going to be played by an 80-year-old. That's cool. He can hobble into the room.
I can't imagine him with a flat top at all.
God.
He's that older piece of crap brother that doesn't leave home. Yeah, he's never left home, but yeah,
obviously he's 40 years old and he's still living at home. So apparently,
what? So what? Hey, it doesn't have to be just a couple of years older. There's no rule about that.
That's true.
They could have six kids. It doesn't matter. He's just old. It doesn't even have to be his brother. It could be his uncle or something. Doesn't matter. We can change this up. Remember?
That's you cut. So really, it doesn't matter at this point.
All that matters is that he's so much in the house. Maybe mom and dad go out of town. And
you
say,
already made us take it. You don't have to sell us because you won. You won.
Yeah, but y'all are these blinders on. You got to open up your brains a little bit. Widen it up. Throw out the elbows. Make some space.
Nope. No, I don't. Because Danny McBride, he sucks. All right. Well, he's going to be in our movie. So that's what that is. Now, the plot. Word. I know Scott's like, I almost had Armie Hammer. Damn it. I almost had a Lone Ranger in my movie.
It was like my one.
I wanted him too. You should really just punch him because we do have a rule. You can't cut a cut. So I'm sorry, Scott.
You're going to have a really good idea here pretty soon, Brian, and we're not going to use it.
We can just ignore it and just say, whew, go away. Go away. Now, the plot in the original was they create a sex bot. What needs to be changed, updated for the sequel? I mean, what do you wish they had done in the original that now they can do in the remake? What do we want to change to our plot? Anything? The one thing I thought of was I don't want her to be made by a computer. I would rather the whole thing was a supernatural event of some kind. A genie or something. I don't even care.
A genie?
And that's really what this was. Wishes. I mean, she had all these powers. I mean, it's one thing to create her for being hot and smart and talented and stuff, but just...
She materialized a car out of thin air. And
Yeah, mm-hmm. and clothes and all
Their
kinds
clothes,
of...
yeah.
All kinds of stuff. So,
and she told off his dad. I was waiting for that scene to get way more awkward.
Oh, that was so good. And then he forgets.
Who's this Gary you keep talking about? I think that's part of the fantasy too, actually.
Oh man. So Supernatural, we're ditching the computer. We're going Supernatural.
Yeah, I like it. I still don't know if I like the title Weird Science, though.
You can always yell cut. It's your, you know, if you went and wasted on that.
Well, I mean, I had a couple of socially awkward college kids that combined their specialty. And I went with the college age. I kind of went with science, but not computer science, but more of a chemistry and biology aspect.
Weird biology?
It's still science, ain't it?
That's true. Yeah. It still fits.
I think going back to what you said earlier, I still want the guy to get laid. I just, to me, that has to happen.
Oh, yeah. Has to have sex. Has to have sex.
I don't care how many letters they get from angry mothers or whatever.
Do they still need to have a party? Because, I mean, are parties still like where you become cool? I mean, is that still the way to go? Well, Scott lives by this.
I don't know. Like, does that, I mean, as I've gotten older, I have parties, but it's not like parties you see in movies. I never went to high school parties where just all hell breaks loose like they do in movies. Did that really happen in the 80s and 90s?
I went to like house parties. So where I went, it was like kid and play.
Yeah. I mean, I went to a number of parties, but, you know, no Scud missiles came through the floor.
It's a whale's dick.
I didn't think it was a whale's dick, honey. Such a good line. I don't know where it came from, but such a good line. Okay. So what else would it be? What other, you got any other ideas outside of having a party? Like, where can they, I don't know, become cool at? I know the mall's not an option.
No, the mall's not an option. Skate park's probably too boring.
Let's all gather at the skate park. Yay.
You know, sporting events, not exactly practical. Rave, do they even have raves anymore?
Yeah. Ooh, an orgy.
Okay, Scott.
Well, that's after you get cool.
Yeah.
That's in the sequel.
That is, yeah. I like rave. I like rave. Instead of a house party, it's a rave. I like that.
Okay.
Where are they going to go have sex then? Just like in the bathroom?
They have sex before they get to the rave.
Don't you have that on the dance floor, don't you?
Yeah. Don't they have like a pit or something? And I don't everybody's, know.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine everybody's doing X and swinging glow sticks and probably just having sex right there. So
that's,
I don't know.
It's Fred's version of every party for anybody 16 to 25. Glow sticks and ecstasy. Yep. I'm a fan. Okay, I want them to prove themselves as men by being chivalrous instead of waving a gun at a crazy Indian biker. And we did agree on that earlier. So what are the antagonists then? What are they going to be?
Why not have those other two guys that were the douchebags from high school that they kind of teamed up with towards the end? Like,
don't you need something more, though, to prove that they're manly? Or do you just want them to go up and confront them? Legitimately.
Well, I'm not sure, because I actually kind of liked how they were kind of sort of getting along at the end. But
all right, we're at the rave. We got, like I said, everybody's dropping eggs, but
and glow sticks. We got glow sticks.
They witnessed the douchebag duo that they're, you know, up against through the whole movie that's been picking on them, whatever. See them slip a little something in the girls that they got the crushes on drinks. Roofies or whatever. So now it's not only do they have to stop that from them drinking, but also stay alive long enough, basically, from getting their asses beat to explain, hey, you know, look, they put something in your drink, whatever, you know.
Yeah, but that's kind of been done. To the girl. Hasn't that been done like every – I mean, that's been done a lot in teen comedies.
Yeah, you don't want guns being pulled, so – I mean,
I don't want guns, but I do want something outrageous, because that was kind of somewhat of the fun. I would like something just, I want something just crazy, like aliens land, where she brings aliens from out of nowhere and they take the aliens down or something. Too crazy? Going a little too far?
Yeah.
Fine.
We're going to Supernatural and aliens in one movie.
So now it's weird science fiction. All right. Oh,
see, it works. It works. Well, zombies have been done to death, so I definitely don't want zombies, but I would like something a little bit more outrageous.
Oh, you know what? The glittery vampires would look pretty awesome at a rave.
They'd blend in.
Especially on X.
God, they'd just be like walking disco balls.
Spin around really quick, dude. Do dance move.
Right.
I don't even see those at parties anymore, do you? When's the last time you saw a mirrored ball anywhere?
Probably at a Scott Clark party.
Probably at some dive bar with, you know. I don't know. Let's say they're getting – somebody's bringing something. Somebody's let something out. Crazy animals, aliens.
Rabid monkeys.
Rabid monkey farm. On the next to the location that they're having the rave at some giant barn.
Yes!
So they're all trapped inside.
Now we're
disco
talking.
Disco balls and laser lights and discos.
The glow sticks freak them out. The glow sticks freak them out and bring the monkeys there.
It draws them. It, you know, all the flashy lights and the.
Are you guys remaking Weird Science or Bachelor Party?
We hey, we're making our movie for modern audiences.
So it brings the rabid baboon farm. You know, people, they break out somehow. Of course, it's like some Final Destination thing. Somebody drops a key, bends over to tie their shoe. They trip and, you know, fall down in a sewer well or something. And then the smart baboon lets himself out, lets all of them out. And then it's up to them to corral them.
Now it's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it did get kind of Planet of the Apes.
A little bit. I'm with Brian up until that last, like, 3 minutes.
Rabid rhinoceroses.
No, I like the baboons. Let's stick with the rabid baboons. I'm good with that.
Neon jellyfish.
I don't even know what's going on anymore.
It's going to be rabid baboons. Cut! I want rabid baboons. It's done.
Okay.
Done. That's our conclusion, is rabid baboons at the farm next door. The glow sticks attract them. They come at them. Hell breaks loose. That's what I want.
Awesome.
Better than Indian motorcycle riders. I can tell you that.
Just cut right now. Bam. Make it. Send it to print.
Anything else in the plot you guys want to change?
How about the amount of nudity? A little gratuitous? Just.
You want there to be. Well, because there isn't.
I mean, are we talking Game of Thrones amount, or are we talking about like Airplane amount?
I don't just like the one shot of the boobs that like flash back and forth on the screen and they're gone.
Just to no say reason. You got them in there. Yep.
I don't think you have to have nudity to get that across. So I don't have a preference. How's that?
Yeah, I figure they'll be scantily clad enough. It's close enough, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I don't need nudity. Scott, do you need nudity in your Weird Science movie with baboons?
Naked baboons? Is that what you're asking me?
The baboons got to be naked. That's
you gotta see those red shiny asses for sure.
Exactly. It's very important.
I don't care.
I want one of the baboons to tear that Iron Man poster down too. I do. I want that in my movie.
Ooh.
Yep. Just to claw it off the wall.
All right. See, I'm thinking he would have the poster at his house, but the rave site is located at a different location. I'm just kind of wondering how the baboons.
So they're gonna have sex before they go to the rave, right? So have them tear it off the wall in the heat of passion.
And
just randomly, hand reaches up and grabs his Iron Man poster off the wall and rips it down.
Done. I like that. Scott's got it down.
All right.
Sexy Iron Man ripping. I like it. I don't have anything else for that. How about tone shifts, production? Is there anything about that you want different? The only thing I could think of was I really want Chet to still be an animatronic puppet. Even though I know everybody's thinking CGI, I would like them to create a better one than that awful one in the movie, but I want a physical puppet.
I think if you don't, it's going to look really odd having that one CGI moment. I mean, I guess there could have been CGI elsewhere, but...
I just like... It felt real. I mean, really fake, but real. More real to me, I guess. Does anybody care? Nobody cares.
I'm fine with that. No, I like a certain amount of practical effects in this. Of course, if we're talking rapid rampaging baboons,
those have to be CGI.
Those have to be CGI, absolutely,
for the safety of our actors.
Yeah, for them. So, what do we care? We're about to make billions off of this. All right,
exactly. I'm telling you, the baboons are going to be on every Time. Time magazine's going to run a cover of this. I guarantee it.
The way I see it, baboons kill somebody, that's just another $20 million we don't have to pay out to another actor. We can get somebody cheaper. So, but I, primarily CGI. with a dose here and there of practical stuff, I think we can make it work. I think we can make that work. I'm good with that, especially the Chet thing. The is he still poo or is he something
bring in
else?
Bring in that thing for motivational growth.
There you go. Nobody has seen that movie listening to this podcast. Nobody. Just juice it up, make it the poop monster from Dogma. I don't care.
The shit demon?
There you go. Done and done. I think Danny Elfman has to do the score. If it can happen. I think because Danny Elfman was a member of Oingo Boingo who did the song Weird Science, which I also think needs to be in the movie. I don't care if you modernize it or not.
Does that count as one of your nods in your score?
We can redo it and you hear maybe a sample of it at the rave. You hear it kind of intertwined in with some other tracks and that kind of stuff.
Or like a boots and pants version of it.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Now I got everything I want in this movie. What is there anything else you guys want? Oh, Brian's
what about,
got an idea.
Who do you want directing it?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I don't have anybody. Who do you got?
All right. I got Edgar Wright.
Ooh. Yes. Yes. On board.
Wait, is that the guy that did like Hot Fuzz and
Hot Fuzz, yeah. Shaun of the Dead? Yeah. He can make this work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Especially those quick cuts he does. You know, when they transition from scene to scene. I could see that actually working in this movie really well.
I just hope he doesn't bail at the last minute like Ant-Man. What? Yeah.
Well, we got ways. We can stop that. Yeah, I got tricks.
We can, because this is the dream.
That's right.
Any other crazy idea you want in this? You know, some people, I posed this to a couple people, and here's what some people said to me. Well, why not two girls and one guy? And my answer to that is, because we're three straight guys having this conversation, and I just don't want that. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, what... I'm not going to go there.
Hey, I encourage ladies, if you got a pitch for the reverse version, send them in and we'll read them later. I definitely would love to hear them, but it's not going to be in my version because it doesn't work for me and we're the ones making it. So
this may be like 1985 Brian talking here, but isn't it practically speaking, generally speaking, isn't it easier for a girl to get a little action than a guy? Even if you're a nerdy girl versus a nerdy guy, I still think.
I agree with you. I realize you're trying to go cautiously two-step
in here. I'm tiptoeing and I'm dancing, yeah. I know, on a slippery ice shelf.
You don't see a movie with two high school girls sitting in their rooms talking, where are we going to get laid?
That's exactly true. That movie doesn't exist. No, it doesn't.
Exactly.
It doesn't. Even the ugly girls, yeah, still do better than most ugly guys. I'm sorry. It's a sad truth of the world. I don't make these things up. Okay, so we got Edgar Wright. I think that's, unless you guys got something else.
I really like that, actually.
Okay, guys, I think we have everything we need for our finished film. It is time for the final pitch. That is where we, yes, present our final movie to you in movie trailer form. Thanks to the vocal stylings of renowned voiceover artist Wayne Henderson, who can be found at mediavoiceovers.com. That's mediavoiceovers.com if you ever need assistance. He is here to present our final pitch. Take it away, Wayne.
From my heart and from my head, why don't people understand my intentions?
Later this summer, from Remade Wright Productions, comes the new film from visionary filmmaker Edgar Wright. Michael B. Jordan and Will Poulter star as Wyatt and Gary, two lovable losers in the small town of Sherman who just don't fit in. Sick of the rejection, Wyatt and Gary call on their own brand of supernatural science to bring to life the woman of their dreams in the form of Brooklyn Decker as Lisa. After she teaches them about love and copious amounts of sex next to Iron Man posters, she turns their lives upside down, infuriating Wyatt's older brother, extremely older brother Chet, played by Danny McBride. Everything spirals out of control until the ecstasy-fueled conclusion at a glow stick-heavy rave where our heroes are forced to shed their insecurity man up, and save their fellow classmates from an onslaught of rabid baboons. That's right, rabid baboons. This is Weird Science. No buttons or flare were harmed during the making of this film.
So fantastic. Great job, Wayne. Thank you very much. I don't think any of us could have done that any better. So that is our movie. Wow. The Rabbit Baboons really get me excited. Like, I really want to see that movie made. Well, here's what we know about the actual remake at this point. Universal and producer Joel Silver are at the helm. Writer Michael Bacall is given the script to go. He wrote Project X, which, Scott, didn't you hate that movie?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay. He also wrote 21 Jump Street, so hey! The studio says it wants to make an edgier remake. Personally, I think Rabbit Baboons are a little edgier. And the rating is quote-unquote undetermined as of yet, which means there's probably going to be a lot of nudity and some sex.
Not that we get away with a PG-13.
Really? There's rabid baboons, Brian. I don't know how.
That's what's going to give it the R rating?
Glow sticks, ecstasy, sex with adults. I mean, you're pushing the boundaries of good taste here, my friend. I like it, but you are.
I mean, for, you know, I mean, you've mentioned it 100 times before that R-rated movies don't make as much money as PG-13. So we'll have to turn down the volume on a couple of things, but I think we can make it happen.
All right. Well, Danny McBride almost guarantees an R, so.
Well, you're right about that.
You better be careful. Be careful.
And that one's pretty locked in, so.
Because he can't be funny without the F-bomb.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right.
Can't change it.
Nope.
You wasted a cut on that. All right.
Well, nobody else cut anything. Y'all are a bunch of asses.
Hey, I cut. I want to rib baboons. I cut. Because you were going into rhinos and whatever the hell, every animal you could think of. Apparently, Bambi's going to be rabid and coming down at some point. I don't know what.
I still think
you were
we could work in some neon jellyfish in there somewhere.
Well, there's aquariums at the rave.
They fall into the pond next to the rave.
You think it's like those suds that they pump out, you know? But instead, it's just jellyfish. I'm sorry. This is more like a Cabin in the Woods type.
Yeah, I guess you're I'm going off
towards that. Yeah. I'll save that. Jaws? I'll save that for another one.
Is there a merman in there too?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Am I?
Guys, what did you think? Did we nail it, or do you think you have a better pitch? Maybe you have the homosexual version. You know what I'm saying? The one that Scott was—he really wanted to cut to, but it was a little chicken. Whatever
the
you got.
Version?
The gay version. You know. Two guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's really short blue jean cutoff shorts you got.
The Daisy Dukes?
That version.
You could finally wear your jean shorts again.
Just shut up.
Email us your short pitch or thoughts on this episode to remakethismovieright@gmail.com. That's remakethismovieright@gmail.com. And we might mention your pitch on the next show. We do have a Facebook group as well. If you go look for Remake This Movie Right, this group is only going to be about remakes. And not to mention that, we do have a Hollywood Outsider group, which is a main group that's just for movies, TV fans, people that just like entertainment, want to talk about what's going on in the world there. If you're looking for our Facebook page, we set up a blank one just to help direct people in case they're looking for it and they get lost. But really, the Hollywood Outsider is our main page. So go to that page. That's facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Just join the group. That's where the community is going to be. That's where I hope we have a lot of good conversations. And that's Remake This Movie Right on Facebook. We're also on Twitter @RemakeRight. These are all new, so there might only be a couple of people in there as of right now. But it'll grow. I promise. It'll grow. Or go to TheHollywoodOutsider.com. That's where all of our episodes are. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do. Make sure you review us on iTunes. If you listen on iTunes, it really helps. Definitely appreciate it. Definitely want to take another minute to say thanks to Wayne Henderson for his great voiceover work that helps make the show complete. You can find him at MediaVoiceOvers.com if you're ever looking for a voiceover artist yourself. He does freelance, does a great job. And he's also on Packers Fan Podcast, the Voiceover Journey Podcast, and Under the Dome Radio. Thanks again, Wayne. You nailed it. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Remake This Movie Right. Is there anything you guys want to plug as we wrap her up?
I will be attending a rave near you.
Do you have glow sticks? Do you have ecstasy with you?
I've got pocket fulls of both of them.
Oh, I hope this is admissible in court. And Scotty?
As always, you can check me out on facebook.com/TheGamingOutsider. We've got a page there all about video games. Lots of coverage on E3, which happened this week. It's an electronic entertainment expo that just took place in Los Angeles. Actually, it's still going on. So if you'd like to catch up on any news from there, check us out right there.
And I'm Aaron Peterson. You can also find me on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, the Blacklist Exposed podcast, a podcast for the Blacklist. You can find all those on iTunes, Stitcher. Hollywood Outsider has an app. And by the time you listen to this, might have an iOS app, too. We don't know. Now go ahead, Scott. Close us out.
All right. And the next movie you watch, guys, just remember, it will be remade someday, and only you can make it better.
From my heart and from my head, why don't people understand my intentions?